What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let me give you guys an update on what we're going to do. We're going to head to Cleveland here coming up in just a bit. We also have Patrick Mahomes. He is going to be coming up in 15 minutes. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by Zach Jackson. He covers the Cleveland Browns for The Athletic. Zach, happy for your flexibility, man. Thanks a lot for popping on today.
Man, me then Patrick Mahomes, you guys are really rolling this hour.
Yeah, I mean, you know, hey, you know what? Think about it like this. You're hitting second and he's hitting cleanup for you today.
Hey, it worked for me.
So let's start with this, Zach. Just take us through the last 2 or 3 years for Kareem Hunt off the field. Obviously, you know the backstory, how he got to Cleveland. You have been monitoring the situation far more closely than we have in Kansas City. Was there an issue? Were there any issues for Kareem Hunt off the field in Cleveland over the last couple of seasons?
No, not over the last couple of seasons. There was the incident where he was pulled over after his first season. But other than that, I haven't heard a peep. And, you know, the Browns gave him a contract. It was a discounted contract based on the trouble he had been in before, you know, based on him really being on his last strike. But he played through that contract. And I don't really think that at the end of 22 there was any kind of nasty breakup. I think, you know, Kareem made a public stand for a contract. The Browns didn't sign him, but it was business. They were ready to move on. And then last summer, well, you know, the summer of 23, Kareem had offers from other teams. They weren't the money that Kareem wanted, so he waited. And then it was this week. It was the day after the end of week two when the Browns lost Nick Chubb. Kareem was in Cleveland. He was in shape. He was available, and they came to an agreement on an incentive-laden deal, and he came, and he was a good citizen and a good player. So, you know, I did raise my eyebrow a little bit when I first saw the report of Kareem back to Kansas City, but it's been so long ago. And we all know how this business works, right? And it's about winning games and getting the next guy. And, you know, this is a shadow to me of the player that he was the last time he was in Kansas City. But is he still an NFL running back that can help an offense and help a good offense? Based on what we saw last year, I think that answer is yes.
I got one last off-the-field question. I do want to get to the on-the-field because there's certainly enough there. Have you got a sense of maturity for Kareem Hunt? What was the infrastructure like in Cleveland to kind of help him through some of his issues? I imagine this was something that was closely monitored, at least when he initially got there, because of everything that was surrounding him.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a maturity thing, just from talking with him, just from tracking it. You know, when he first got back, he was doing visits to high schools, basically on the side of town where he lived and sharing his story and telling, don't screw up like I did. The team didn't want that publicized, but it got out. In the last few years, like I said, I heard nothing about any incidents involving Kareem. And, you know, when we talked to him, he was a guy who was grateful to be playing football. He wanted the ball. He still scored at the goal line most times he did. So, I'm not surprised at all that he's back in camp. And I knew it wouldn't be, I shouldn't say in a camp, back on a roster, you know, at least on a practice squad for now. I knew it wouldn't be in the summer. I knew he wouldn't be anybody's priority. But if you go back and watch last year without going full coach cliche and saying turn on the tape, like he produced. They asked him to get 2 yards. He got 2 yards. He can still catch the ball. I mean, he wanted to play more than he did, right? But, like, in the situation where he's your goal line back, he needs to make a block on third down. He needs to do a little bit in a little stretch. He can do that for you, and I'm not surprised he's on a team.
Right now we're talking to Zach Jackson, who has been covering the Cleveland Browns, also covering Kareem Hunt. He is the newest member of the team. Patrick Mahomes is going to join the show coming up in 10 minutes. Zach, let's move to the on-the-field issues with it. There's a clear break in his career. He went from being a guy in 2020 who had 200 carries for 850 yards and 6 touchdowns to the last 2 years he is averaging 3.4 yards per carry. What changed with his role in Cleveland over the last 4 years?
Well, I think for 2 years, the offense stunk. Quite frankly, it wasn't rolling. You know, in 2020, it was rolling pretty good, and Nick Chubb was at his peak, and Kareem was playing the third drive as part of a script, and then he was playing on third downs. You know, he had multiple touchdown games, and that's what he is. He's a red zone finisher. He is a third and one and a half. He's going forward, to get it. So, you know, I think he slowed down. You know, I don't think he's the same player. But the last I saw of Kareem Hunt, he was not overweight. He was in shape. He was anxious. So I do not believe that he's going to give the Chiefs a 45-yard touchdown run this Sunday night, right? But over the course of the next month, I'll be surprised if he doesn't give the Chiefs some one-yard touchdown runs.
If you had to, I guess, offer up a theory and hypothesis, why do you think he was available? Because I look at the other running backs that are available. It's guys that used to be good in 2019 but aren't there anymore. Leonard Fournette is available. Damian Harris is available. Boston Scott. Like, there's a reason why you are available at this stage in the season. Why do you think that is?
Age, just raw speed. You know, the Browns were willing to move on because they didn't think he could run anymore. And they were mostly right, but he could run enough. You know, that's what it is. And you're not asking Kareem to shake five people. You're asking him to run through 1.5 people. That's what he does, right? So it's crazy because he's still, what, 28, 29? I think he just had a birthday maybe and turned 29. But that's the reality of where he is in his career. And so, you know, he wishes it was here. He was never getting the contract that he had held a three-day hold in for or whatever, but he helped the Browns in all those seasons. And last season after he came back, I thought from a football standpoint, it worked out better than anybody thought, but everybody knew that it was time to move on. And it was just a matter of, you know, him waiting for this opportunity. You know, the Browns went to Nyheim Hines, a third down back, a return guy with the new kickoff return rules. They're waiting on him to get healthy. They signed Deontay Foreman for nothing, who's probably a little lesser version of Kareem Hunt, who's a year younger. Who's a lot lighter, I think, at this stage in his career. But Kareem Hunt's still a player. And like I said, if you go back to last year, you can see him making plays that help this offense move the ball.
I mean, my last question, Zach, and we appreciate your time, is do you think he can be a 1B running back that maybe gets you between 6 to 10 carries a game? Or do you think he's primarily a red zone, kind of third and one, third and short? What are the expectations that fans should have for Kareem Hunt over the course of the next month?
Yeah, I'd lean towards the latter, but I wouldn't put a ceiling on it. You know, like I said, I don't expect him to be 15 carries for 100 yards and the big highlights. But, you know, assuming he's had no setbacks in his workouts, and we haven't seen him. You know, he does a camp at his high school in the summer. But other than that, he's been off the radar since last January. And last year, I can tell you, he stayed in shape. He stayed ready. He visited at least two teams, and he told them that he wanted a certain dollar amount and they didn't go there. So then he was available for the Browns. So what happened this summer? I don't know. You know, he was kind of off the radar. I think the realistic thinking of he and his representation was probably more like September. And now he's in Kansas City. And, you know, like I said, unless something has changed drastically with his training, I would imagine he'd be ready as soon as this Sunday if they need him.
That is Zach Johnson joining us on the show today. He covers the Browns for The Athletic. Hopping on with the breaking news, the Kansas City Chiefs have a new running back. They have signed Kareem Hunt to a deal. Zach, man, we appreciate your time. Thanks a lot for popping on with us today.
Thank you.
Absolutely. That is Zach Johnson joining, or Zach Jackson, excuse me, joining us on the show today. I don't know about you guys. I feel very encouraged by what I just heard from Zach Jackson. Very, very encouraged. Off the field, I like what I heard there. Also on the field, this is how I hear it, Rob, and I'm curious if you heard it differently, same way. However, text line 913-586-7965. Patrick Mahomes is going to be on the show coming up in 5 minutes. It sounds to me like a pitcher who has lost some velocity but could still get guys out. That's what it sounded to me. He used to be a guy that could throw 99. He's a guy that can now throw 92, but he's still effective enough in certain spots to be able to get some guys out. If you are expecting some of the breakaway speed, make a guy miss, that doesn't sound like that's what he is anymore. But on a 3rd and 2, you trust him to move the chains and get you 4 yards and extend the drive. On 1st and goal from the 3-yard line, that's a guy that you don't mind putting in the game. He's going to hold on to the football. He's going to make the right play, and he's going to score a touchdown. That's how I heard him described. Is that what you heard? Text line, let me know what you guys think as well.
That is what I heard, but I'll also say, I think that's a glass half full approach. I'll also say, isn't that kind of what the Chiefs fans have sold me on what Carson Steele is for this team? He's the power back, go get two when it's 4th and 1 guy. Hey, you know, catch the ball a little bit out of the backfield. Hey, it's 3rd and 3, can you go get me 4? I don't know. There's explosion with Carson Steele, but he's the grind it out 3 yards in a cloud of dust guy. It sounds like that's what Kareem Hunt is too. So the Chiefs have 2 of those type of players now. Doesn't it seem a little redundant?
Yeah, I think you're kind of putting Carson in a box when I'm not really sure. Now, I think that's what he was going to be in the Isaiah Pacheco offense.
That's true.
But now that you're going to give him, I'd be very curious to see, once the numbers come out, what the over-under are on carries for Carson Steele on Sunday Night Football. It could be anything. You could tell me that Carson Steele gets, you could tell me that the number is 7.5. You could tell me that the number is 13.5. Like, I would not be surprised if Carson Steele got 16 carries in the game. Wouldn't be surprised if he got 5 carries in the game. Like, there is a wide range of how I think they are going to use him. After that, if Kareem is in shape, and we'll find out how the physical went, how the physical and the workout went, there's no reason why he wouldn't be available to touch the ball 5 times in this game. The Chiefs still need one other running back. You are not going into Sunday Night Football on the road with Carson Steele, who has, what, 7 carries in his career, and Samaje Perine, who is a third down back. You need one other running back. I think that running back is going to be Kareem Hunt. We'll find out more tomorrow if he's going to be active. We'll continue to talk about this. The breaking news, the Chiefs have signed Kareem Hunt now. He is the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, up next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back into The Drive. Let's head to the phone lines right now to be joined by the current Super Bowl MVP. In my opinion, he is the best player in the National Football League. It is also his 29th birthday. Happy birthday to Patrick Mahomes. Our conversation with the quarterback started with, well, today's your birthday. What'd you get?
Yeah, I haven't got my present from Brittany just yet, but she said it's going to be cool, so I'm excited for that. Travis got me a Louis Vuitton golf bag, so that was going to be sweet. I don't know how much I can use that on the golf course, but it will be nice to have. And then Rasheed's got me some cool shoes, so I've got some cool stuff so far.
Man, would you have ever thought, you know, when you made the decision to go to Texas Tech, would you ever have imagined that this was your life?
Not at all. I mean, I would have thought I was playing baseball somewhere. It was it's been a whirlwind. I mean, just the life that I've had, I've been blessed. And so I just try to enjoy it, like I said, man, because it goes by fast, and you want to enjoy all these little moments, especially with your kids.
There's a lot of stuff to talk about with you today, man. I'm excited to get your thoughts on it. First off, this is just a question that I have, and I'm curious to get your thoughts as a person who plays the position. Offensive numbers are very down right now from where they were even just 2 years ago. Passing touchdowns way down. Passing yards are down. Points are down. Offense is just down in general. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, obviously defenses have adjusted. I mean, obviously over the last few years, I mean, offenses have been able to be explosive and throwing the ball down the field and having different play actions and stuff like that. But in the NFL, teams adjust, and defensive coaches are doing a great job of putting up great game plans, and offenses aren't executing at a high level. So as the season goes on, I'm sure that'll balance out a little bit. But, obviously defense of teams are playing really, really well, and you just have to find ways to win games at the end of the day.
You obviously had the opportunity to sit behind Alex Smith, and kind of your development process was a lot different. That's not the case for every young quarterback. You're seeing some of those younger quarterbacks struggle who are getting that early trial by fire. What is the hardest thing for a young quarterback to learn when you make the jump from college to this league?
I think just the windows of opportunity are so small. I mean, I think in college there's so many plays ran, and the field, it seems like almost is like, even though it's not, it seems bigger and more spaced out. Whereas the NFL, just the athleticism and the schemes, it just they condense the defenses so much quicker. The windows close quicker, and so learning that's the biggest thing. I mean, obviously, I think those guys are going to be they're going to be good. I mean, they all have a special talent and can all throw the football really, really well. But you have to learn what's open and what's not open in the NFL, and those little opportunities you have to execute on them. If you don't get them a lot in this league.
Right now, we're talking to Patrick Mahomes. Patrick, there is such a value to having the ability to win ugly, and every game is not going to be pretty. You're not going to win every game 45-3, but good teams like the one you're the quarterback of, you guys just find a way to grind out wins even when you don't play your A game.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's obviously I want to play better. I mean, I feel like there was opportunities in that game. I mean, that's a good defense. And so just trying to limit the mistakes, I think, is the biggest thing for me, just with the interceptions. And obviously we had the fumble as well, something that we can clean up. But the great thing about our team is that we have a great team. I mean, offense, defense, special teams, we can do it all. And so the defense picked us up this last game. Harrison made a big field goal at the end, obviously. But offensively, we got to clean stuff up so that we can take some pressure off of them.
So when you get the ball at the end of the game, and you obviously know what is in front of you, if you get down the field and you got to kick a field goal, how does Harrison's leg and his range change your mindset whenever the drive starts?
I think you just saw with how we were playing. I mean, we were getting to our better plays. We were kind of quick huddling, doing stuff like that, because we know we don't have to get much past the midfield in order for Harrison to knock through the field goal. Obviously, we want to get more yards from there at the end. We didn't execute it those last three plays. To get them in a little bit closer field goal range. I thought we did a good job of finding ways to have success. Obviously, getting the fourth and six and then getting the penalty and not letting that affect us and going out there and the fourth and 16, giving Rashid a chance to make a play and getting the flag. I mean, it's just we've been in those moments before, so we don't make it too big. We just execute our job.
You mentioned baseball. You know this very well about the value of having a great closer. You know, you go out there and you have a quality start and you want to hand things off to a bullpen that you know is going to lock things down. Having a quality kicker is very similar in, you know, as a quarterback, hey, if I can get 40 yards and we can get it where it's a 50 to 55 yard kick, there has to be great confidence knowing that when you come off the field, you know that your kicker is going to come through for you guys.
Yeah, 100%, and I think it's communicated really well. I mean, I know throughout the game and throughout almost every drive, like, where we need to get to in order to score. I mean, obviously, you want to score touchdowns, but where you need to get to and to be in range for field goals. And so you have to take all that into account, and that's stuff that I've learned throughout my career is not to sometimes, if it's not there, throw the ball away and kick the field goal and not try to make a play every single time where I can get a sack or something, get us out of field goal range. And so it's learning what the flow of the game is. It's not always going to be pretty, like you said earlier, but you have to do whatever it takes to win. We've done that over these last few years.
you guys are in the middle of another officiating controversy, and I put controversy in air quotes because I don't really understand this controversy. It seems like a very obvious penalty to me, but I have to ask you the question, what did you make of the defensive pass interference call?
Yeah, I mean the guy got there early. Obviously you don't want the game to end on a penalty. I would have much rather it in the fourth and six, getting the completion, and that being the pass to get us in the field goal range. But we got a penalty on that one as well with a flag where they got hands to the face, and it's the job of the referees to call the flags whenever the flags are there, and they did in both those instances. It seems like social media goes wild with that stuff after games like that.
What is it about the games between you guys and the Cincinnati Bengals? It doesn't matter when, where, temperature, situation. It is always going to come down to the final 2 minutes of the game and who can execute.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's because two great football teams. I mean, great, like, players on offense, defense side of both teams and special teams, two great kickers. And then competitors, man. I mean, I respect Joe Burrow and the way he competes every single time he's on the football field. You know that in these games like this, when you're playing great quarterbacks and great football teams, it's going to come down to the end. And it's about who can execute those last few plays and get yourself in position to win the game. And they've done it a couple of times, and we've done it a couple times now. And I'm sure we'll play a lot more times over my career.
Right now, we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes, here for a couple more minutes. Patrick, if you can you take us inside the huddle when you're calling a play that is designed for Wanya Morris? I just want to hear what the chatter was in the huddle.
Yeah, before the play, we were able to kind of hit that huddle on the sideline. I think there was an injury or something. Coach Reed came up and asked if I liked the play, and I did. The way we were running the football really set that play up really, really well, where they had to overcommit, and we had the play. And if you watch the play, I mean, obviously Wanya was wide open, but Trav was wide open as well, and that just speaks to the play design. And then it's all about just giving him a nice, easy, catchable ball. And he's an athlete, man. I mean, I've thrown it to him before and seen him catch it with one hand. So he's a guy, he's an athlete, can make those plays. And obviously a cool moment to get him a touchdown in a big game like that.
You and I both love the movie Varsity Blues, so I was happy to see you give an offensive lineman a touch. And he came down with it. Those guys can make plays too.
Yeah, I know, especially in these days, man. These offensive linemen are like former tight ends and former quarterbacks and whatever for their high school team. So they're guys that are athletes that they have to eat a lot of food and get some weight to be offensive linemen. But in order to block the defensive linemen in this league, you got to be an athlete. And so you got to give them some chances to make some plays sometimes.
A couple of roster moves, or I guess notes, that I have to get your thoughts on. Let's start with Hollywood Brown. Really disappointing. He makes the first catch of the preseason, and then he's out what could be for the entirety of the season. What does this mean for you? What does this mean for the offense?
Yeah, I think guys have to step up. I mean, obviously the hope is that he's been able to make it back by the end of the year, and we can use that momentum into the playoffs. We have to have guys step up in the meantime. I mean, I think Brett Veach did a great job of putting a lot of receivers in that room. Xavier had a good start to his career, but we're going to keep getting better and better. And guys like Rashee Rice and Noah Gray and Trav obviously are going to have to make plays like they usually do. And so obviously, losing him is a blow because he's such a great football player, but the hope is to get him back by the end of the year.
I have to get your thoughts also on Isaiah Pacheco. It was really disappointing. You could just kind of see the reports that something was off a little bit with his health. We then get the news yesterday that he's going to miss an extended amount of time. He's really critical to what you guys do. I can think of times where the offense stalled a little bit. You guys give him a play. He gets an 8-yard run that – you know, it just turns first and 10 to second and 2, but his energy, he gets up, he's fired up, and how that energy just kind of really helps the rest of the team. What does the loss of Isaiah Pacheco mean for this offense over the next 4 to 6 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, I think you just said it. I think it's the energy more than anything. He brings energy to every single play. He's up. Every time he gets hit, he's popping right back up, and I think that just kind of inspires the team that we're going to go out there and get it. We have to do our best to try to match the energy while he's not out there. I mean, obviously the injury happened. Hopefully we'll have him back sooner rather than later. So for now, we've got to have other guys step up just like we always do. And injuries happen in this league. It's the NFL. And we got to have guys step up and have bigger roles than they had early in the season.
How confident are you in Carson's ability to step in and be the number one back over the next couple months?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to do a great job, man. I mean, he's done a great job so far in his opportunities. He's running the ball hard. Kind of has that physical type of style that, Isaiah has. And so he's just going to have to get more and more accustomed to the offense and to the NFL, and then we'll have other guys step up as well. It's not going to be one man that's going to replace Pop. It's going to be a full running back room. And so I'm excited for all those guys to have opportunities to go out there and show what they've been working for until we get Isaiah back.
Last thing here, I remember last year I asked you stadiums you haven't played in, at least in the regular season. Atlanta is one of those stadiums. How happy are you to knock one of those stadiums off your list?
Yeah, super excited. I mean, to be able to play in that stadium, I mean, obviously I played it in the preseason, and it's a great stadium. It's going to be packed. Sunday Night Football, they're coming off a big win, and they're a great football team that's really building in the right direction. And so it's going to be a great environment, man. And the schedule makers didn't do us anything easy. They gave us three great football teams out the gate, but it's going to challenge us to be our best throughout the entire season. So we're excited for the opportunity to go up against a great football team.
That is the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Today is also his birthday. Patrick, man, happy birthday again. Always appreciate your time. It's your birthday. It's an off day. So, man, we're really happy that you could join us today, man. Thanks a bunch.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
That is Patrick Mahomes. You can catch our conversation with him. Normally it's on Monday. Today had to be moved to Tuesday. Again, happy birthday to him. If you missed any part of that, we will play it for you in the 5 o'clock hour. You also can check it on the podcast page, the Odyssey app, also the website, 96.5thefan.com. Rob, I do want to get back to the conversation about Kareem Hunt. The Chiefs have signed Kareem Hunt to a contract. We have not seen the financials, but for a guy who was just unemployed a couple of days ago, I'm going to assume that they didn't break the bank to go out and get him. I was very encouraged by what I heard about Kareem Hunt. We just had Zach Jackson on the show, beat writer for The Athletic covering the Cleveland Browns. Here's what his expectations are for Kareem Hunt.
He had multiple touchdown games, and that's what he is. He's a red zone finisher. He is a third and one and a half. He's going forward to get it. So, you know, I think he slowed down. You know, I don't think he's the same player. But the last I saw of Kareem Hunt, he was not overweight. He was in shape. He was anxious. So I do not believe that he's going to give the Chiefs a 45-yard touchdown round this Sunday night, right? But over the course of the next month, I'll be surprised if he doesn't give the Chiefs some 1-yard touchdown runs.
Rob, I know that you're maybe a little bit more skeptical of this move than I am. I don't want to portray this like I'm super high on this move. I'm not. But you also have to take a factor of when it pops up in the schedule and what are the available options. I look at a running back that can catch the ball out of the backfield a lot. Now, sure, he's not what he was during his prime, where he led the NFL in rushing and he also had 500 yards receiving. That's not who he is as a player, but he can catch the ball out of the backfield just a little bit. And he's also reliable. I mean, we're talking about a guy who in his career, he has 5 fumbles over the course of his career. We've already seen a fumble from Carson Steele in his first 2 games. Now, that same thing happened with Kareem Hunt in his first game, but that carried on. He has just not been a guy that's going to put the ball on the ground. So if we were just going through the checklist of, hey, I'm in a tight spot right now, a guy who knows the system, a guy who's going to come in cheap, a guy who is going to be on his absolute best behavior because this is a redemption story arc, a second chance for him. He's a red zone threat. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. And just based on his history, you're not worried about him putting the ball on the ground. Let's say that he's what LeSean McCoy was a couple of years ago, because you remember,
LeSean McCoy was like a 500-yard back in Kansas City. LeSean McCoy had, I think people forget LeSean McCoy was actually a productive NFL running back.
He was okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying he was an, you know, all pro or some all world player, but he was what, 400, 500 yard back. I don't think Kareem Hunt is 400, 500 yard guy anymore. That number would surprise me based on the fact that he was signed to the practice squad today.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he is. I'm just not sure if he's going to get those amount of carries. But if we're looking at LeSean McCoy's career, you're right. Maybe Kansas City had a mispeg. He was a 500 yard player. Rob, he played 10 more games after that. He played in Tampa Bay. He couldn't get off the bench. He had 10 carries for 31 yards, and then he started to go work at FS1. Like, once Kansas City decided we can't use him anymore, that was the end of LeSean McCoy's career. We just really didn't see him again. So you're right. I don't think he gets 100 carries the way that LeSean McCoy did. But if you were telling me that that's the kind of impact where LeSean McCoy was kind of good for a condensed period of time, and then when it was over, and then you moved on from him, I think you can live with that. I don't think you need Kareem Hunt to be a four-month option for you. I think you need him to be, at a minimum, a six-week option. And then if it goes poorly, or if another injury happens, you go back to the well and you do this. Do you think there's a chance, and I understand this is a different player, do you think he could be C.J. Anderson? Remember back in 2018, Todd Gurley had an injury. So the Rams went out and they got C.J. Anderson. And C.J. Anderson actually ended up being a productive running back for a small period of time. I think what you are hoping with Kareem Hunt, best case scenario, is it's lightning in a bottle. He comes in, he's fresh, he wasn't in a camp, his body's not beat down. He can give you one solid month. That's enough until you feel good enough with Carson Steele to move forward. Isaiah Pacheco comes back in 6 weeks. You just got to kind of manage this thing for the next 4 to 6 games. I think he can get you to that point.
I said this on Twitter or X or whatever they're calling it. I think the floor and the ceiling of what Kareem Hunt can be in Kansas City, Kareem Hunt part two, is I think his ceiling is what you said about LeSean McCoy. Hey, you found lightning in a bottle. It's probably over, and this is probably his last ride off into the sunset, but you got the last squeeze out of the orange that had juice. Like, you got something. I think worst case scenario is he's Melvin Gordon. He's a guy that we all know his name, but track record looks like he's washed. It turns out he is washed, and he's just a practice squad body, but it's a practice squad body we know. I think the player that you are most likely going to get, because that's the floor and the ceiling, I think the player you're most likely going to get, and the text line has said this too, and that's a credit to them, I think what you're going to get is Le'Veon Bell in Kansas City. Now, I'm going to push aside the part where he was a rapper and said all those bad things about Andy Reid. Let's just push that to the side.
I don't
Le'Veon
think that
Bell was 250 yards, and but I think what happened with Le'Veon Bell.
That's not a bad option, though, to me. If you're telling me right now, if you're telling me that I could press the button and you are saying that Kareem Hunt is a 4 yard a carry, that's what Le'Veon Bell was. He had 63 carries for 254 yards. In 9 games, and he also had 100 yards receiving. If you were telling me that we think that Kareem Hunt is going to get you 350 to 400 yards from scrimmage, great. I don't know if you need him to be much more than that for what you were getting. This is a nothing contract and a guy that you are not hoping plays in the postseason for you.
I'll say this, though, about my Bell comparison. I think one thing about Hunt that I think could potentially happen, I see it a little bit on social media, on the text line, that 100% happened with Le'Veon Bell is, I think fans fell in love with the name and didn't really understand the game. Le'Veon Bell was productive in Kansas City, but you were here the same way I was here, Carrington. When they signed Le'Veon Bell, Chiefs fans thought they had signed, you know, Killer Bees Le'Veon Bell, the most patient back they had ever seen, the guy that was roaring down the field against the Chiefs in 2016. We got him and Edwards-Helaire. Here we go. They didn't get that guy. They got a fine backup. Kareem Hunt is probably a fine backup, but because of his success in the past in Kansas City, in the distant past, based on NFL standards, I think expectations might be a little out of whack, where if you are Le'Veon Bell and you are 9-10 games, 300 yards, three upper threes, lower fours yard per carry, and hey, it's just you're a Band-Aid on the broken leg situation, for lack of a better term, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire's coming back, we trust Carson Steele, we like Samaje Perine, you're just part of the mix, those are fair expectations. But I wonder if because of his success past, the expectations have got out of whack with Kareem Hunt.
Text line 913-586-7965. CDOT, why do we think that Pacheco is going to be the same strong condition running back ready for the NFL in 6 weeks after a leg fracture? I don't think we have the answers to that, so that's a good question. I would also say, man, this is why running backs fight so hard to get paid, because we all see what's about to happen now with Isaiah Pacheco. They have used Isaiah Pacheco. He now has an injury the way that running backs do. And in 2 years when we're arguing to pay Isaiah Pacheco, you know what Rob's going to say? No.
And I'll be right, by the way.
We're talking about a seventh round pick, a guy who up to this point in his career has probably made, what, $3 million in his career? Isaiah Pacheco is an $8 to $10 million running back. But, man, because of the rules. So, I'm with you. We have no clue if Isaiah Pacheco is going to come back the same. Man, that would be incredibly disappointing for a guy who has been such a productive player so far in his career. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk a little bit of college football before we get back to the NFL coming up at the top of the hour. We will cover Missouri, Kansas, and K-State. That's next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison. On your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Rob, really quick, and we'll get back to college football. We'll also get back to Kareem Hunt. We'll talk about him at the top of the hour. They denied Puff bail. Puff said he was willing to put up $50 million to get himself out of prison, and they said no thanks. They said that they caught him in a hotel in Manhattan, and he had a pink substance on him that they tested, and it was positive for ecstasy. And before a woman testified for the grand jury, Rob, he called her 54 times. So they are worried about whether or not he is going to intimidate witnesses if he is out on the street. So Puffy, he is going to stay in jail until they sort this thing out. He got picked up yesterday by the feds. They have him on a bunch of charges. You can go read them for yourself. But I just wanted to keep you updated, Rob. I know that your Twitter and my Twitter look very different during these moments. So I just want to keep you up to date on everything that's happening.
I think in moments like this, we actually have a very similar looking Twitter. It's rare it crosses over, but when you get so big and you do something so bad, allegedly, it's going to hit every single person's timeline.
All right, so let's talk a little bit of college football again. We'll be joined by Chico Borman in Cleveland coming up at the top of the hour. We'll get his thoughts on Kareem Hunt, who is the newest member of the Kansas City Chiefs. Let's start with Kansas. The other two teams won, so everything is good when discussing those teams. Let's start with Kansas. They go on the road for their first Big 12 game. They go to West Virginia. Here's Lance Leipold. He is not calling Saturday a must-win game.
I'm not getting into must-wins and all that stuff right now. We got a lot of football games, because if you start putting them all in one basket, either way, you got to get your team ready the following week. So, but yeah, could it be? I mean, that's kind of where some of this the momentum and confidence has started. It'd be nice to recreate it.
Of must win is the term to use with Kansas. I will tell you this, though. Jalen Daniels needs to play well in this game, or we are going to have a conversation about his KU moving forward with him as their starting quarterback. So far this season, he is completing 54.9% of his passes. He has 442 yards total. He has not thrown for more than 160 yards in a game so far this season. He has 3 touchdowns and 6 interceptions. He has been the biggest reason why KU lost their 2 games this year. He was bad against Illinois. They had a chance to win that game. He was bad against UNLV. He completed 50% of his passes, didn't throw a touchdown, and had 2 interceptions. Sure, he ran the ball effectively, but his decision-making has been the biggest problem with KU. If he does not play well and they lose against West Virginia, I think we are a week away from a potential quarterback change at KU.
So I was at the game last Friday, and you heard it in the stands.
He get booed?
He got booed. So they threw up against their own goal line. They went 3 and out. He got booed. Now you can say the whole offense got booed, whatever. He got booed. And maybe just people in my section, maybe just people just sit around me, I don't know. But there were conversations, at least in the stands, about Cole Ballard, and they have a redshirt freshman they like from Detroit. There were conversations about both those kids. Those kids are the most popular people on Lawrence right now because it's backup quarterback syndrome. There is, at least in the fan base, murmurs of, let's do what's next. If he doesn't get back to, maybe he's never the same player, but he's got to be productive as a quarterback in college football.
Are you guys going to replace the play caller at some point? Because that feels like it's next. It feels like both things can't move forward if it continues this way. You either make a quarterback change or you got to change the offensive voice. I noticed this after the second game. I can pat myself on the back. He's different. Jalen's decision-making is different. His explosiveness is different. He's not reading defense as well, and I don't know if they're calling plays that really highlight what he does well at this point. It just feels like they are getting very, very close to a breaking point.
I mean, They just brought in a new offensive coordinator this offseason.
Might be time to get rid of him.
Might be time to get rid of him. You figure at the very least, at season's end, you probably figure Jalen enters the portal or the offensive coordinator disappears or both. It does feel like it has not been a great match and something has to change because previous to this season, Kansas may have been a flawed college football team, but their offense was always fun to watch. That has not been the case at all this year.
I mean, Friday night in Manhattan was a very simple, your playmakers played like playmakers. Avery Johnson had two touchdown passes. DJ Giddens had 86 yards in a touchdown run. Dylan Edwards had a punt return for a touchdown. He also averaged 5 yards a carry. Your stars were stars on Friday. I think this is going to be a major talking point this season. Teams that switch conference, you're going to new environments for the first time. Arizona is going to a place that they are very unfamiliar with on a Friday night in a very raucous environment. I think you could see the writing on the wall. K-State was going to punish those boys. That is exactly what they did. It was 7-7 after the first quarter. Then K-State scores 24 unanswered points. Other than what we know Arizona can do, throw to one wide receiver, they didn't really do anything else offensively. You got to give K-State a lot of credit defensively. They had a well-balanced, very potent attack. I think right now K-State's the favorite in the Big 12, especially with Cam Rising at Utah. He is just always injured. This is like the fifth consecutive season that Utah's quarterback is hurt. Today, K-State is the favorite for the Big 12. And if you're the favorite to win the Big 12, you got a legitimate shot at the college football playoff.
The K-State that played Arizona is a favorite. The K-State that played against Tulane is not the favorite. I think that's something to watch this season. Avery Johnson is incredibly talented.
You know there's always a big difference about freshman, home and road, though. You know that.
I know, but freshmen tend to be more inconsistent. That's just the nature of the beast. I know he's a sophomore, but he's a first-year starter.
I just think we know what Avery is. Avery's not going to throw for 200 yards. Avery Johnson this season throws for 175 yards and runs for at least 75. That's just what he is at this point in his career. You got to do some of the other things right. You got to protect the football. You got to control the line of scrimmage. You got to do those things right in order to win with the quarterback that they currently have. Really quick thought about Missouri because we're up against it. Luther Burden was back. It's that simple. It's been a while since we've gotten a Luther Burden game. Now, they didn't need it in the first two games, and this team has more than enough weapons in the passing game, but they needed top 10 pick, arguably best wide receiver in the country. They needed him to play for this team, and that is exactly what they got on Saturday against Boston College. 6 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown. When Missouri has that guy going, they are one of the 12 best teams in the country.
I mean, I was honestly stunned that it's taken so long for him to get going. He's maybe the best receiver in college football. He might be the best weapon in college football. And I know people are trying to take him away, but you and I both know in college football, you can't really scheme away one of the best players in the league. I'm surprised it took 3 games, but watch out if he's back to that offense.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we are going to be joined by Chico Borman in Cleveland. He covers the Browns. We'll get his thoughts on the breaking news. The Chiefs have a new running back. He is Kareem Hunt. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.